I'm reading from Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, because he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and let the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
We're looking at the moment at a series of things about prayer. And last week, those of you here with us, most of you, Paul was talking about Jesus' time in the desert when he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And today, Paul's asked me to look at fasting. Now, I think this is because I'm on the rota, not because I'm an expert in fasting, so I've had to go off and do some research. So you're going to hopefully benefit from the results of my research and my thinking about this. I'm probably the last person that you should ever ask to do something about fasting, because I'm not that sort of person, really. I'm on a sort of fairly continual low-carb diet to get my weight down, so the thought of eating anything less for me is actually not overly attractive, and I seem to spend about half my day just feeling hungry, thinking, what can I eat? And for those who haven't tried this, by the way, all the things that are nice contain fat and sugar. All the things that are nice contain fat and sugar, even apples and fruit. So you've got to be, so if you want to get rid of all those, then you're eating all the things that are, I have to say, bland. I'm allowed treats. Anyway, that's enough about me. So fasting. So what does the Bible say about fasting? Well, actually, it's interesting when you start looking through the Bible, what you do and what you don't find. Unless somebody else has got a more depth view of this, I couldn't find any laws in the Old Testament about fasting. Nowhere does it say, do this and fast, or fast and then do this. The people were fasting, and God occasionally tells his people to fast. We've read the Joel reading, which was read a couple of minutes ago. Andy read it for us. And it starts off, tell my people to fast as an act of repentance, to show that they really had taken on board what God wanted to tell them about what they were doing wrong, as an act of repentance. Moses and David are both referred to as fasting. Actually, Moses is one of the few people it tells us what his fast was. It doesn't actually say he was fasting. It says that before he, well, when he went up into the mountain and came down with the tablets, that he didn't eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. It didn't say that was his fast, that just says what he did. David says he's fasted. If you read through the Psalms on many times, in his pleading with God, in his repentance, in his attempt to get, if you like, God's attention, he fasts. But he doesn't tell us what that means. So we're no better off. So more often than not, fasting as a word, as an activity, takes place. We'll look at why in a moment. But it doesn't tell us what it is. It's obviously got something to do with not doing something, mostly eating. But in terms of what that means, it's not clear. Well, as we looked last week, what does the New Testament tell us? Well, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I've been back and looked at that. One of the Gospels says he fasted. One says he didn't eat. None of them say he didn't drink. And we'll come back to that issue as well in a minute. But he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But again, it does refer to it as fasting, and it does refer to it as not eating. So that's a bit of a definition of Jesus' fast. But he does expect his followers to be fasting. If you remember in the Gospels, John's disciples come to Jesus and say, why are John's disciples fasting and your followers aren't fasting? And Jesus says, when I've gone, there'll be plenty of time for my disciples to fast. He then goes on to tell them how to fast, and that's to do it privately, not openly, not declaring on a big board, say, I'm fasting for Jesus, or coming into church looking hungry. We are told to make it a private thing, that only God knows we're doing it. But he still doesn't define what fasting is. When we move on into the writings in the books, and Paul and so on, in Acts we find that the disciples, let's move on the slides so you know where we got to, the disciples fasted as part of their decision-making process and their prayer process about who they would send out. So before Paul and Barnabas were sent out, the disciples fasted, and then they commissioned them and they sent them out. There's a debate as to whether Paul ever fasted. I found one reference to the fact he said he was hungry. But it's not evident whether it's because he hadn't got any food because of where he was, and he was often in prison. He was in prison in Ephesus for 2 years, would you believe it? So he might well have been hungry at that point. But it doesn't say that he actually fasted as such. He mentioned he was going hungry. So overall, what can we find from the Bible? Fasting is done, first of all, to seek a closer intimacy with God, to establish a closer relationship with him, to find his will and his blessing. Something where we can really show that we are very, very serious about building that relationship. Very serious about being righteous, to the point where we will fast. It's also a sign of repentance. In the Joel 1, it's clearly a sign of repentance. If you look at David's writings in Psalms, it's a sign of his repentance. But the Bible says it must be done from a good place. If you look at Isaiah, God says through Isaiah to his people, I see all this fasting going on, but all the crime and all the disputes and workers badly, that's all still going on. So I'm not interested in your fasts. I'm not interested in your fasts because you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it from a place where your heart is with the Lord. You're doing it because you think it's some sort of process. If I do this, God will respect me. Well, actually, God looks at our whole lives, and God isn't interested in us just fasting in order to be doing that. It must be done from a good place. As I said before, it must be done in private, and it's for God. It's not for others. So let's look at fasting as giving up something, which is what most people tend to look at fasting as. It's not always the way it's defined in the gospel, in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, but we'll look at it this way around. I'm not a doctor, but I am going to say to you, if you have any sort of underlying medical condition, do not fast before you've spoken to your doctor. We don't want people coming out of here saying, oh, I've got to give up food for a week, and then finding they've have a real medical problem. Seek medical advice if you really want to do a fast and you have a medical problem. Please, please, please. And do not seek advice from the internet. You'll get all sorts of horrendous advice, most of which will be bad for you, and I would just not even bother to look, to be honest. Only on one occasion can I find that somebody who, even if this is Moses, was not defined as fasting, he was defined as giving up food and drink for 40 days, nobody else appears to necessarily to give up drinking. And looking at in my researches, and I went on the internet, so sorry about this, but where else could I go, not being a doctor, is that actually giving up drinking fluids, particularly water, for more than a day is actually potentially quite dangerous. In fact, I would recommend you don't do it at all. I've been recommended to drink 3 litres of water a day. Have you tried drinking 3 litres of water a day? Especially a man of my age, it has all sorts of interesting effects. I've got up to 3 pints a day. I have a pint of water with every meal. It's quite difficult. But that's what we're supposed to drink. That's what medical profession recommends we drink. That, so to give up water, I think, is very dangerous. And God doesn't want us to do anything that's dangerous. Be sensible. And I would, from what I've seen, looking at other people's fastings where people do define it, my suggestion was if you want to do a fast, and people often do want to do a fast, for the two reasons I've said, one is to get closer to God, and the other is by way of repentance. Suggest fasting during daylight hours. Saint Augustine, who we all follow, I know, recommended missing out basically one meal. Even if he didn't actually do it as a whole meal, he had two half meals. So cut out one whole meal. Quite good for you, actually, if you're like me, a bit overweight. But you could do it, perhaps have breakfast early in the morning and then dinner at night and have nothing during the day. So that might be a way of doing it. But don't, you know, this is not something you should be doing all the time. This is when you have a circumstance which you want to bring to God for a short period of time. Only do it if you have a specific reason. This is not a way of living that we go through fasting through our lives. We do it because we want to get close to God or we want to show our serious repentance. And to be honest, Lent's quite a good time to prove we've got some self-control. It's quite interesting, actually. If you start giving up sugary things, how much your body will crave sugar. I hadn't realised it till I started giving up sugary things. And I haven't realised it, I haven't quite got through it yet, although I've done it, had to do it a couple of times. I used to be a lot heavier than I am now. But you actually crave this stuff. So where's our self-control if our body is actually able to tell us to eat this, even if you know you shouldn't? And Lent's a good chance to try that. Give up something particular to see if you can do it and to prove that you have some self-control. What about a modern day approach? God may well speak to you, but probably not via Facebook. I wrote that and I believe it, to be honest. He might speak to you through Facebook, but it's a bit unlikely. How addicted are we to modern technology? How close have you ever come to running somebody over who's crossing a road looking like this? I have several times come close to running somebody over who stepped off the pavement, staring at their mobile phone, oblivious to what's going on around them. Absolutely oblivious. Penny and I spend a Monday every 2 weeks looking after our little granddaughter, who's 3 going on 13. And we take her to Soft Play, which actually is quite nice because we get a cup of coffee and can sit down while she runs riot around the place, but reasonably safely. I say reasonably. It depresses me the number of mum stroke carers who've got a child who's wreaking havoc around Soft Play who are on their phone. They're not speaking to the child, they're not watching the child. You see people out with buggies, with their child in a buggy, mum and a child, earplugs in, music blaring in. If we are that addicted to our electronic devices, where's our thinking time? Where do we ever get a chance to think, let alone where's our praying time, where's our listening time? If I'm guilty of anything, it's having the radio on in the car. I'd be much better off with more thinking time if I turned the radio off in the car. Something I could do in order to allow God to break through all this activity. We seem to live in a society where quiet silence and thinking is not allowed. It has to be expunged. If you can't be on your phone talking to your friends or checking your Facebook or all the other apps available, by the way, as they say, if you can't be doing that, you've got to have music coming in your ears streamed down from gazillions of tracks which you can pay £5 a month for or whatever it is. You see people walking beside the canal through glorious God's creation scenery, earbuds in, can't hear the birds. I've been down there, we've had deer beside the canal. It's glorious, but people miss it all because of what they think is good for them. So are we in listening mode? Are we in thinking mode, let alone are we in praying mode? So how about through Lent, if you haven't given up something else, try giving up technology for a whole day. Switch your phone off. I will almost guarantee that you will not get a message that had to be answered that day. I was, you know, come and see me afterwards in a couple of weeks' time and say, Martin, I actually got one and I missed something because I didn't answer it that day. Very few people will come to speak to me. I only do emails at home on a PC. I don't carry one around that does it. I don't think I've ever had an email I had to answer that day. You'll be surprised how little immediacy there is in what you are told is immediate. So try giving up technology for a week. to think and pray. Again, it's a reason why do that, because it gives you time to think and pray and be open to God's calling. Think and pray and be open. Those of you who read the newsletter will know that the week before Lent, Paul here, sent us a challenge. There are many things you could try, such as quiet, meditating on the word, pray, reading the Bible every day, generosity, the list can go on. Try taking something up, because that's exactly what we read about in the Old Testament. Isaiah 5. Again, we're in the situation that was in Joel. They were fasting, they were, whatever that meant, they were fasting. Presumably they were having times they didn't food, but all the stuff going on in the background was dreadful. And God says, I don't want that sort of fasting. What I want is you to... here we go. Sorry about that. I tried to give up technology, but never mind. God says to Isaiah, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, set the oppressed free, break every yoke, share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter, see the naked clothed, and turn away from your own, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. This is not about giving up something. This is about taking something up. This is about a fasting which says, get out there and do stuff. Be the body of Christ. Christ calls us to do this stuff. Paul says we should do good wherever we find it. Not because it's going to put brownie points in heaven for us, but because it's the right thing to do. God wants us to get out there and make a difference. Go out there, as Isaiah says here, and make a difference. Well, shortly we're going to come to communion, and as James has said earlier on, and I think it's a chance and a challenge for us to have a time to think. We'll have a few moments in a minute. After I sit down, I suggest we just don't do anything for a couple of minutes, because I'd like us to have a space here where there's nothing going on, and therefore we can listen to God. To make space to listen to God's voice, and determine to ask him as we go forward through Lent and continuing after that. It's not just a time for Lent. To make space for all the things I've mentioned, to see what does Jesus want us to do to further his kingdom. Paul's been teaching us that things are going to change. God is going to ask us to do stuff which we don't even know about yet. But we won't know he's asking us if we don't listen. And if we don't stop and have space, then how can we listen? Do we pray? Lord Jesus, you called us to be your body here on earth, to do the things here that you would do. Lord, to be a blessing to those around us. Lord, we pray that you will show us those things which we need to give up so that we might be closer to you. Lord, help us to do this in a correct and loving way. Lord, help us to know the things that we should pick up, the things that we should start doing in order to be your body here on earth. And Lord, we just pray that you will bless us through this. For thy dear name's sake.